Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning. How many, all right, be honest with me. How many of you are dragging a little bit because it's daylight savings this morning? Right here. I know. I was like, who's going to show up to church this morning? I figured at least the people, some of you come to 9:15 might come to 10:45, or maybe some of you normally attend at 8 o'clock and you're attending this service this morning because you lost an hour. I got to tell you, I had a lot of anxiety last night. It just so happens that three of the last four spring forwards, I've been preaching in these services. And I don't know why it happens every year, or almost every year. I think it was Pastor Andy last year, but I had like the two preceding that. And there, I don't know if there's any day that I am more anxious than to come on Sunday morning, because I'll set my alarm for 6:45, and then I'm wondering like, all right, but what if it's actually 7:45 and then I need to be at church by 8 o'clock and I might like make it just in time for the sermon to start on first service. So I go to bed just terrified of when I'm going to wake up, because there was one year, if you had an iPhone, it was like 6 or 7 years ago, that the time didn't automatically change. We rely on that now, right? Like it automatically changes, but there was one year it didn't, and like people were really upset by it. I remember people, I'm going to Android, and then they went to Android and were like, that was a bad idea. But anyway, so one of the things, here's just a help. I know this may have helped some of you yesterday, but one of the things you can do in the future is set a timer for however long, like think of the time, do the math, or have somebody who's good at math do the math, right? And figure out how long it is you need to set that timer for, and then use that as your alarm, at least as a backup. So that's one of the things I did, and I had like five alarms set, and I even got up a little bit earlier just in case. And then, you know, you wake up and you're like, but is that really the time, right? It's just terrible. So I'm really glad this morning that I get to preach on a very different topic than I preached on last week. As much as I love and enjoyed what we got to talk about last week about how we relate to God and how we need to communicate with Him in those times in which we're down and in despair, and how we can get to a place of hope, that'd be a really hard topic this morning, which many people believe is the worst day of the year. So I'm really glad we get to talk on more uplifting topic. Over the last several weeks, as we've been going through the Psalms, we've been looking at our relationship with God through the Psalms, and how that relationship affects our prayer life and the different aspects of that relationship. We started by looking at how we can pray to God as a child prays to, can talk to a parent, or just talking to God knowing that we can depend on Him as our good shepherd, and how that changes the language and the words that we use when we talk to God and we can rely on Him. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at talking to God and when we need to say sorry, when we need to repent, and how that repentance benefits our life and our relationship with God when we do that. And then just this last week, we looked at how we, when we're feeling down or when we're in despair, how we go from despair to prayer, and how prayer is that vehicle that takes us from a place of despair to a place of hope. And that no matter our circumstances, even when we're feeling down, that we're honest with God, and how we speak out loud about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God, and remind ourselves to praise Him even during those times. And so this week is being led in from where we left off last week, as we look at an essential part of any relationship, and that is praise. Praise. And I know he's like, well, how is praise a part of a relationship? Well, we know that we need to praise, but we also need to have verbal appreciation in a relationship, or adoration. There's a lot of relationships where this relates to, but I think more specifically of a marriage relationship. How I need to, my wife's sitting right over here, I need to appreciate my wife. I need to verbally appreciate her and give her praise and adoration. I need to tell my wife I love her. That is an essential part of our relationship, that I would verbally tell her I love you every day of the week, every single day, and a lot of days it's more than one time. And I think we could all agree that that is a healthy part of a relationship. Now, if I were to decide that it wasn't important for me to tell my wife that I love her every day, that wouldn't last very long. That would not be healthy for our relationship. Even though I might say something like, well, my wife should know that I love her. My wife should know that I appreciate her. I still need to tell her that. There is something that, and we experience that ourselves. We might do something. Imagine, you know, we cook a meal and for our spouse or for our family, and nobody says thanks for cooking that meal. They might actually in their hearts appreciate it if you're a decent cook. Otherwise they might not. But they might unless they say it out loud, it doesn't really matter. It means something to us when we're verbally appreciated, and the same is said when we do that of our spouse or of someone else. It's a healthy part of our relationship. And I think that's so true of our relationship with God, that we can go throughout the day a lot of times and we get busy and we have work and family and life circumstance, and we don't turn our attention toward God, or we don't tell God that we love him. We don't appreciate him. We don't tell God thanks every day. I believe it's an essential part of our relationship with God, is that we would give him our praise and our verbal appreciation and adoration every day. Now, again, we might say, well, but God should know that I love him. God should know that I appreciate him. Well, that may be true, but we know that it matters when we verbally speak out things that we feel inside. And that is something that God desires from his people, to bring about verbal praise. We need to speak these things out loud. Now, the thing is, we need to do this a lot of times when we don't feel like it. Because Lord knows that there's sometimes in a relationship where you don't always feel like saying I love you. You don't always feel like giving that affection because, well, you know, maybe there was an argument, or maybe there's just stuff going on or busyness or whatever it is. And we just don't feel like it. But even when those times are bad, we still need to appreciate. We still need to share that love with our spouse. I still need to say, even if, you know, things aren't going great, I still need to say, I love you. And how important it is to do the same thing in our relationship with God. It's so important for us as believers to praise God even in the bad times, even when we don't feel like it. And sometimes doing that, giving that praise, even when we don't feel like it, even when the circumstances are not the best, that praise, that giving that praise to God, can actually change our feeling. It can change our circumstance. You might be at ends with your spouse over something, but you still, because you love them, say, I'm still going to give you a hug. I'm still going to embrace you. And when you do that, sometimes that can affect the situation. You might realize that what you're feeling really doesn't matter as much as your love for your spouse does, and it kind of gets you out of it, or can kind of move you toward getting out of that feeling. And the same is true of God, is that when we're not necessarily feeling up to praising God and then we praise him anyway, that a lot of times can change our feelings, or at the very least change our countenance and change our focus. Now, I want us to honestly answer this question of ourselves this morning. I wonder how many of us can say, praising God characterizes my life. One of the main reasons we gather together on a Sunday morning each week is to praise God. We gather to meet with God, to corporately offer praise to him, but it's never meant to end there. I can't help but wonder if sometimes the way that we view worship on a Sunday morning is, okay, let's give God his hour, or, you know, the praise set. Let's give God his 20, 25 minutes, and then we get on with the rest of our day, or we get on with the rest of our week, and we filled our quota. But the reality is our corporate worship will be enhanced when all the members have been praising God wherever we are throughout the week, and then we join together and we do that thing that we've been practicing all week. It's the same as if we're a sports team, and imagine if football players, all they did was play the game on Sunday and they never practiced throughout the week. Well, they wouldn't be doing their plays, and they wouldn't be playing together as a team in conjunction with one another, making sure that they know what call means what and how to do what they need to do well. And it's kind of the same for us, is that we come together on a Sunday morning. If we haven't been praising God throughout the week, and it's not something that defines our everyday, well, sometimes Sunday might just feel uncomfortable. But if we're praising God every day,
Sunday morning is just a natural thing for us as followers of God to do. Now, as we're looking at the Psalms, I want to look more closely at this guy named David, who wrote at least half of the Psalms, at least 75, if not more. It's about 50 Psalms that aren't really ascribed to anyone, but he wrote at least half of them. And we know David from the Bible as, you know, this shepherd boy who fought a lion and he fought a bear with his bare hands, which I always think is funny. He was anointed king by Samuel. Samuel comes to the house of Jesse and he looks through all of his brothers and wanting to anoint one of them king. And the lowest of the low, David, is the one who gets anointed, because we know that God sees the heart and not just the outward appearance. And then when the king, King Saul, was oppressed, we see that David was brought in into the palace to play the harp for Saul, and it would make him feel better when he would play this harp. Then there was this guy named Goliath. You may have heard of him. He kind of got struck down with a rock, a stone to his head that was thrown by David, this young man who just trusted God and knew his God. And later it would be said of David as he joined the army, there were songs that were sung that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. David was a fierce warrior and a mighty king, but he was also a great worshiper. And we see that, I think we see that in a better place than in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it's a story you may be familiar with, but the words will be on the screen. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 to 23 says, "Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. And as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal," this is David's wife, daughter of Saul, "watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women." I love the way that David celebrates with cake. It's always a good idea to celebrate with cake. "All the people went to their homes." And then verse 20, "When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, 'How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would.'" Ouch. But then watch what David says to Michal. "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler of the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Now, this is an incredible outpouring of praise that David gives us an example of. David is this incredible worshiper, and he's like, "I will celebrate before the Lord." There was something in David where he knew his God so well that as he experienced the victory that God had given him and the people of Israel, he could not help but praise God. He couldn't help but just exude this worship and praise to God. He did so by praising and by being loud and by dancing. And he was just like, for other people, he may have looked like a crazy man, but this was the king of Israel humiliating himself to a degree, praising God. Now, I am not saying this morning that this is what our worship service should look like, okay? I'm not saying that the goal for us is to get to a place where we're just, you know, humiliating ourselves and that is our goal. But it does kind of say something to us about how we should be, the heart behind how we should praise God. That our focus should not be on what other men or women think about how we praise God, but that we would honestly praise God in whatever way that it feels right to us, that as God is worthy of our praise, that we would give him the praise that he is worthy of unreservedly. And I love how he says, I will become even more undignified than this. He's basically saying, you saw me then. I could get even crazier here, because God is worthy of my celebration and praise. This is David the worshiper. David would have been like, I don't know, like the Chris Tomlin or the Hillsong of our day, writing all these incredible psalms. And it's so interesting that this guy who you would think, well, he's like this musical guy, and he there's like two parts to David. Like, we see him as this artsy guy who he plays the harp and he watches sheep and he writes all these psalms, and he slayed tens of thousands of men, just doing all these crazy things as a warrior too. And I think that that's so good for us to see this morning, especially as men, because a lot of times we look at David, yeah, I want to be like David. I'm like, well, you want to be like David? Yeah. Then praise God with everything within you, because that's the David of the Bible. That's the man after God's own heart. And the same for women. If you want to be a woman after God's own heart, then we need to be warrior worshipers like David. Now, worship, we know that worship, when we use the word worship, it's an act of submission to God, our service to God. It can happen any day and every day, and it happens in the things that we do and how we serve God. And it's not centered on a time or a place like the temple like it used to be. It's not centered on a Sunday morning, but it's done whenever and wherever we are, because we are the temple of God. But the primary way that we worship God is through praise. And I talked about that in a little more detail a couple months ago when I talked about why we worship at church, why we come together. So if you didn't get to check that out, you can find that on the church website, why we worship. That was back in January. But as we look at the Psalms specifically, the book of Psalms, a lot of it is about praise, but we see some pretty dark psalms. We see these psalms of lament. We see these psalms in which you're if you read them, you're like, wow, that's in the Bible. They actually said that. God, like, destroy my enemy and destroy their children and destroy all this, because like there is just this raw emotion that comes in the psalms. But it ends. I love this, how it ends. The last six psalms are called the Hallelujah Psalms. And they all begin and end with this phrase, praise the Lord. The first verse and the last verse are always praise the Lord, which in Hebrew is hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's literally saying hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's all throughout the way that the book of Psalms ends. And there's this commentator, Matthew Henry, who you can find, like, if you look at commentaries on online, like Bible Gateway, and he has a really incredible commentary of the whole Bible. But he says this about the end of the Psalms, that they're wholly taken up in praising God, and there is not a word of complaint or petition in them. And then he says, the nearer good Christians come to their end, the fuller they should be of the praises of God. And that's how I love, like, Psalms takes us through such an adventure of life and a gamut of emotions, but when we get to the end, it's all about praise. Now, as we look at how to praise God this morning, I want to read through one of these hallelujah psalms, and it's Psalm 148, and the words will be on the screen. You can follow along with me. And it starts with this, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. I just dare you, as I'm reading this, to not be encouraged, to not have your spirit be uplifted as you read this psalm. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. I want to pause there for just a second. One of the main reasons that we should praise God is because he created us. There is something innate in a created thing that draws itself toward praising its creator. That someone chose to create you, that the breath that you have in your lungs comes from someone else. There's something in us innately, in our creation, that draws us toward praising God. And I love how the psalmist just is like, hey, angels, hey, sun and moon, hey, everything that was created, praise your creator, praise, because at his command, they were created. And then in verse 6, it continues, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love it. You just read these hallelujah psalms and you can't help but have your spirit stirred. As that psalm closes, another reason that we should praise God is because he is worthy of it. The only one who's worthy of it, as verse 13 says, for his name alone is exalted. We worship God because he created us and because he is worthy of our praise. And there is something that if somebody is worthy of our praise, we are compelled to give it. If somebody does something for us, we are compelled to say thank you. If God, as he lives in us and as he works out his will and his heart in our lives, we are compelled to give him praise. And I love how Psalm 29, we don't have this slide, but it says, many of you have heard this before, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. That's Psalm 29:2. As a creation, we are compelled to praise God. And because of who God is, because of the characteristics of God, and because of God's goodness and his faithfulness and all that God offers us, we are compelled as his creation to praise him. And no better person gave us an example of that than David. As he won a battle, and we know that we've all been through battles in our life, and when there is victory in that battle, we are compelled to praise God, and we need to not let anything hold us back from giving God the praise that he is due. Now, if you heard that, we're here for that sermon back in January where I talked about why we worship in church. I showed a little video clip of me getting really excited when the Giants won the 2014 World Series. And I just couldn't help myself. There was something, it was just when that game ended, when Pablo Sandoval caught that last out off the third baseline, there was just something where you're just like, yes! And oh man, I wish I had a video clip from when the Patriots had the greatest comeback ever in Super Bowl history and beat the Falcons. How excited I was at my house. My wife can attest to it. Everyone who was there, everyone else is rooting for the Falcons. And man, when the Patriots won, I was just so excited, especially when it was like the second quarter and it looked like the game was over. And yet, how true is that with us? Like sometimes it feels like we're just down and out and there's no hope. And then God intervenes, and we are compelled. We need to be compelled to praise him. But then I thought that this question, as I think about that, as I think about the things that we get excited about in this world today, especially like rooting over sports games of people throwing a ball and catching it, why is one perceived as natural and the other as weird? Satan has convinced society that excitement about God is unnatural and to be avoided. But excitement for a football team is to be expected and encouraged and is no way unnatural. I just was like thinking about that this week. I think about people who like, and I would never do this. I get excited, but I'm not crazy. I would never like paint my body or do anything like that. You people are crazy. I know there's some people here this morning who've probably done that. But we get so into these games, and yet when it comes to praising our God, it just becomes, it's something to be avoided. And that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart that his people should have. And David shows us that. In fact, when the Bible talks about worship, it uses the language of the human body. The Psalms are full of references to the use of my body to praise and worship God. It is expected that I, as a child of God, will quite naturally want to express my enthusiastic gratitude with the help of all of my human makeup. And there, Jeff, you can put the slide up. There's tons of places all throughout the Psalms that tell us of the different ways that we can worship God with our body. Psalm 134, 1-2 tells us how we praise God with our hands. Praise the Lord. Remember, hallelujah. All the servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. We also praise God with our knees, as Psalm 95:6 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Our eyes, we praise God with our eyes, as Psalm 25:15 says, my eyes are ever on the Lord. Sometimes just focusing our eyes on God, giving Him our attention, is the praise and adoration we need to give Him. I know there's a lot on the slide, and maybe some of you are taking notes. Maybe you want to take a picture of it or something. That would be a good time. But we also praise God with our lips, our tongue, and our mouth. Psalm 63:3-5 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. There's a reason we sing. God has created us to sing His praises. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. There's the hands again. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips my mouth will praise you. Now that verse really struck me this week, because the psalmist is saying that he will be satisfied, that as he is satisfied with the richest of foods, so his lips will praise God. Now, if you know me at all, I'm like a huge foodie. I love food. I think about food more than 3 times a day. I love trying like new restaurants. I love going, every time I travel, my destination always based on where I'm going to eat. Like, we always look up like Food Network and like, oh, what's the best Food Network places to eat? Where's the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, right? Or something that in the city that I can go to. And if you ever need a recommendation, especially in the LA area, ask me. I got some good ones. But I think about just how excited I get over food. And what do we do? What do we do when we have that really good bite of steak, or maybe it's cake, and we eat that and we go, oh. We can't help but express ourselves about that morsel of food, which will be gone in about a minute, maybe. And I love how the psalmist talks about that richest of foods and how we need to be compelled to express ourselves in praise. That if we can be expressive in the way that we eat, how much more so with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And then our tongue, Psalm 35:28, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. My mouth, Psalm 43, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And those all work really well together and highlight the importance of our declaring with our mouth, with our tongue, with our lips, praise to God. And then with our heart, as Psalm 9:1 says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. You see, for King David, worship was a physical activity. Each action was a way of illustrating his love, gratitude, and affection for God. And he sets the example for us of praise being a lifestyle. You see, one of the things that defined King David was that he needed to make praise a priority. Before Israel would go into battle, they would praise God. After a battle, they would praise God. It was just something that was a part of him. He had made it a priority, and it became a lifestyle of praise for him. And that's, I believe, God's heart for us, his people, is that praise would be a daily thing. It would be a lifestyle for us, and that we need to make it a priority. And as we looked at what praise looks like physically, I thought about, well, what does it look like practically then? How do we praise God every day? Well, for some of us, that might come naturally, and for others, it might need to be scheduled, and that's okay. We need to do the same thing with our spouse, with our kids. A lot of times, we need to schedule it. We need to make praise a priority, and we need to put it on our calendar. We need to put it. We need to make it set aside that time. Maybe for some of us, it's through worship and praise. It's 20 minutes of Christian radio a day. Maybe it's just whatever. Maybe you're really into podcasts or other music, or just I don't like to listen to anything in the car. Well, 20 minutes. Maybe it's on your way to work, on your way back. Maybe it's when you're taking the kids to school, or maybe it's on your lunch break. If that's all you can fit in, trust me, it will change your day. I remember when I was in high school, and I listened to all kinds of music. I love, I love Christian music. I love worship and praise. I love rap and hip hop. I love country music. I love pop and rock. And like, I could basically listen to just about anything. I really love music. But I remember being challenged when I was in high school to, there's a Christian radio station that was doing a challenge that for the first month of the year, only listen to Christian music. And you guys have probably heard those challenges many times. And just see what it'll do. Just see if it'll change you. And I was like, man, like, all right, I'm gonna miss out on all this type of music, but okay, I can do that. Because I mean I like worship, I love praise music, I love Christian music, so I'll do that. And I can tell you that by the end of that month, I was like, do I need to listen to anything else? And I do now, and I still love listening to a plethora of music, but it changed my attitude. It changed just my perception. It just put my eyes on God, even for a little bit of time each day. And so maybe it's on your daily drive to Starbucks, and you say, I'm not going to drink this Starbucks until I listen to a couple of songs. Maybe it's making a worship playlist. Maybe it's on iTunes or Spotify or whatever music service you use, or maybe it's buying a worship CD. A really great one is one that Elevation Worship released about a year ago called Here As in Heaven. Listen to that album the whole way through, every day for a week. It will change your perception. It will, for 20 minutes to an hour, get your eyes off yourself and put it on the one who is greater and can actually do something about the circumstance in your life. Maybe you use Pandora or Apple Music or Spotify. And you have like those radio stations where you can just put in an artist and it'll come up, you know, just with all kinds of artists that are like that. Put in Hillsong, put in an Elevation Worship station and listen to it as it shuffles through a variety of worship artists. Maybe it's not even music. Maybe it's that you just need to read a psalm a day. Maybe you're just like, praise is not something that defines my relationship with God. Praise is not something that I have a lifestyle of, and I want to do that. Maybe it's just reading a psalm a day. Maybe you've got something that you're already reading, a devotional or book. It only takes like a minute. But if you read a psalm like 148 during the day, in the morning when you get up before you head off to work, it gets your eyes off you and your circumstance, and it helps you focus on God, and it helps you to be a light to those around you. But sometimes you don't feel like it. And I realize that. And we all have been there where, you know what? I just don't feel like praise. One of the things that I've put into my life and my prayer life specifically is that when I come to God, before I ask Him for anything, I tell Him what I'm thankful for. However your prayer starts, you know, mine's usually like, all right, God, or dear Lord, you know, and the next thing out of my mouth is something I'm thankful for, whether it's that day or something I'm remembering. God, thank you. God, praise you. Maybe it's not anything specific. It's just like, God, thanks for being good. Thank you for loving me in spite of who I am, in spite of my circumstance, in spite of my sin. Thank you, God. And it changes my prayer because I might have just gone to God and just started venting and throwing all this stuff out, and that's okay. But when I put my eye on God and I just say, God, thank you for doing this, then what follows changes. My perspective changes. And maybe some of us need to do that. Or maybe you're like the psalmist that we read about last week in Psalm 42, that he had to say this three times in Psalm 42 and 43 as the words come up on the screen. He has to remind himself to praise God. And it says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. He has to give himself a pep talk and tell himself three times, why are you downcast? Praise God. Put your hope in God. Praise Him. Even in those times when you're feeling down or in despair and nothing in you wants to praise God, choose to anyway. And as we praise him, as we speak that praise out loud, God's faithfulness and his goodness and his power, as we speak that truth out loud, hope can spring up within us. See, the thing is, as we look at the Psalms and we look at a guy like David, if you want to battle like David, if you want to be a warrior like David, you need to worship first. If you want to be great like David was, you need to make praise a priority. If you want to be considered a man or a woman after God's own heart, you need to be a worshiper like David. The church needs more warrior worshipers. And them out there, they need more people who are living a lifestyle of praise, who can bring the hope of God and the light of Christ to this world. And that happens through people who have a lifestyle and make praise a priority in their life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to close in a time of worship, as we've been doing over the last several weeks. We try and start and end with several songs in worship and praise to God to prepare our hearts for God's word and then to respond to his word. And obviously today is a really excellent day to do that. But before we do, I want us all to stand together. So if you will, everyone stand with me. And I want to end the sermon time by declaring one of these hallelujah psalms together. And it's the last psalm. It's Psalm 150. And it's just an awesome psalm that gives praise to God. And so we're going to all say this together. I'm going to pray and we're going to end our time just worshiping God together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would help us, your people, to develop a lifestyle of praise that gives you the glory that is due your name. Because of who you are and because of what you've done, that we would be compelled to praise you like that of David, and that we would make it a priority. We would put it in our schedule, God. That we would choose to do it even when it doesn't feel right, even when circumstance is not the best, God. That we would choose to praise you, because every day, no matter our circumstance, you are worthy of our praise. And I pray, God, as your church, as your people, as we praise you this morning, that we would be compelled with all that we are to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.